Everybody said, praise the Lord. I am so thrilled to be back here with you again tonight. Thankful to God for what He did for us last night. What a beautiful crowd you have here this evening. Your bishop already said it, this place is just about full. Tomorrow night we want to see it standing room only. The only factor that will determine how many receive the Holy Ghost tomorrow night is how many can we get here that needs it. It's the only factor that determines it. If you'll do everything in your power to get people here tomorrow night who needs the Holy Ghost, God is going to do something in your camp meeting that is going to thrill your soul and is going to help set the pace for what He wants to do in your great district in years to come. People are going to be healed and people are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Cunningham, how do you know that? Because I know it's the will of God. I hope by the time I'm done preaching tonight, you all believe that. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, taking my text from this verse tonight, I'm preaching now. Everybody say, now is the accepted time. Say it with me again. Now is the accepted time. I want you to say it loud. Lift up your voice and say it loud. Now is the accepted time. Say it one more time, even louder. Now is the accepted time. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Shake hands with four or five people, look them straight in the eye, and say, now is the accepted time. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord as we're seated? The book of Acts, if you please, starts off with a bang. First several chapters of the book of Acts are powerful. It depicts, it is an account of a powerful beginning of a powerful church. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, we understand that on that day God filled more than 3,000 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one single day. In Acts chapter 3, the Bible tells us the story of a lame man, lame from birth, that in Acts chapter 3, he was healed and went walking and leaping through the temple. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible said that 5,000 more were added to the church. And in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira made the terminal mistake of lying to a man of God. Because they lied to the man of God, they fell over dead. Their dead bodies were carried away. In the month of February of this year, everybody holler, this year. The week of the 15th to the 22nd, it was a Book of Acts week for the United Pentecostal Church. February the 15th, in the nation of Bangladesh, God filled 4,000 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There were 4,000 there. Most of them were unsaved, and more than 3,000 of them received the gift of the Holy Ghost. February the 20th, just 5 days later, Brother Watts, you were with me. We were preaching in Kampang Phet, Thailand. Had a group about as big as this here tonight in a building as big or larger than this. When I was finished preaching, I spoke the word of faith for healing. And I challenged someone to come forward who had been healed immediately. Nobody came. I challenged again. Nobody came. I challenged the third time. Nobody came. And then all of a sudden, a little man on this side stood up after three times of me challenging them to be healed. And he walked down the aisle. He literally run down the aisle, run across the front, began to worship God. And when he did, the Thai people went absolutely flip wild crazy. And Thai people don't do that. I mean, they went nuts. I turned to David Smith, who was on the platform and was with us there. I said, David, go find out what happened. Find out what this man's story is. I've never seen the church respond like they're responding to that man. David came down off the platform and ran back up. He calls me Dad. He said, Dad, listen to me. He said, that man has been lame for years. He was carried in here tonight, and God just healed him, and now he's leaping and running through the building. Now listen to me, somebody. February the 21st, the very next day, Sunday, Brother Anthony Mangan and team was in Philippines. They had an attendance of 35,000 people in Manila. And on that day, God filled over 5,000 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout, yes! That was Sunday. On Monday, we're back in Bangkok. I'm in my hotel room. I'm the district superintendent of Virginia, and one of my pastors called me. He said, I've had something happen. I don't know how to explain it. I need your help, Bishop. I said, tell me what happened. He said, I got a man that was in the church years ago. He left the church and became reprobate, turned his back on truth and everything. He's fought his family, unbelievable. His children still come to church. They live for God. His wife comes to church. She lives for God. And he said, today, this morning, Monday morning, he said, that man took one of the children's Bible and tore the pages out of it, threw them on the ground and stomped on it and spit on the pages and cursed God and cursed the church and turned around and dropped dead. Acts 2, 3,000 got the Holy Ghost. Acts 3, a lame man went running through the temple. Acts 4, 5,000 got the Holy Ghost. Acts 5, the Bible says Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. February 15, 3,000 got the Holy Ghost. February 21, a lame man run through the temple. February 22, 5,000 got the Holy Ghost. February 23, a man fell over dead. Can I tell you what the cool thing is in this story? Here's what ought to light your fire. Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 spans 5 years of the early church. What God did in 5 years in the book of Acts, He did in 7 days in the United Pentecostal Church. 7 days. What are you trying to tell us, Brother Cunningham? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Now is the accepted time. It's revival time. Does anybody hear me tonight? It is revival time. You may be seated. When I tell you it's revival time, that's not a cliche. I'm not trying to hype you up. That's not an expression of hope. And I hope I don't offend you. That's not even at this point a statement of faith. It is a statement of fact. You don't have to have faith when you got the facts. And the fact is, it's revival time. Now is the accepted time. I want you to know, North Texas, this is our day. I want every pastor to know this is our day. I want every saint of every church to know this is our day. End time apostolic revival has already begun. I'm pausing for effect. I don't ever belittle preachers. But if I never hear anybody's fancy phrases for I have no faith again, it'll be all right with me. Because that's exactly what you do when you stand in the pulpit and say revival's coming down the dusty road. Revival around the next bend. Revival over the next horizon. Revival next month. Revival next week. Revival next year. Revival next decade. I want somebody to hear me today. We're not waiting on revival. We're not looking for revival. I've come to tell you revival is in the land. It's already here. Shout yes! You may be seated. I had the privilege of having lunch with your great district board today, and I was talking to them about an archaeological find in the state of Virginia, in the city of the town of Jamestown, which was the very first settlement in America. It's about 45 minutes away from my house. Between the year 1607, say 1607, and 1677, a plaque was placed by the door of the first church in America. The first church in America. The archaeologists that are digging around that original settlement with teaspoons and toothbrushes, they just uncovered this plaque. This is the plaque that hangs in the museum now in Jamestown, Virginia, in that original church, 1607, the first church in America. They found a plaque of Acts 2:38. That's what hung in the first church. When you take the tour up there, I just had the privilege of taking Brother Tenney up there not too long ago. And as we're taking the tour and looking for that plaque, the guide that's walking you through says, we don't know the significance of this verse. We don't know why this early church had this verse on their wall. He'll say, we would understand the Lord's Prayer. We would understand the Ten Commandments. But we don't know why they chose this verse. I got news for you. Hold on. Hold on, hang with me 1 minute. We'll shout in a second. Listen to me. You call me crazy if you want, but the fact that they just found Acts 2:38 in the first church in America, it tells me it's a sign from God that God's fixing to reveal Acts 2:38 to this nation like never before. It's a sign from God. Somebody shout, I believe it. I believe it. I believe with all of my heart God's fixing to pour out the Holy Ghost like we've never seen it poured out before. We're fixing to see entire churches filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're fixing to see entire denominations be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're fixing to see entire cities turned upside down. Not only are we going to see God fill them with the Spirit, but God's going to give them a revelation of the name of Jesus. Sitting in my office before service, one of my elders run in like he had just seen Jesus. And he told me the name of a very popular television preacher. I pastor in Tidewater, Virginia, Chesapeake, Virginia Beach, Portsmouth, Suffolk, Norfolk area. It's the home of the charismatic movement in America. It's where Pat Robertson started his first book, Shout It From the Housetops, when he was challenging America to the possibility of television ministry. It's where so many television ministries got their start in that area. And this man is very big on television and very known. He came to the service, sat through the service. I'm so thrilled to tell you that in that one service, we had 42 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we baptized 39 of them in Jesus' name. We baptized the first one during song service, came forward, wanted to be baptized. I put an elder in the water to baptize the first one. That elder did not get out of the water till 11 o'clock that night, because soon as one got done, another one came. As soon as that one got done, another one came. Soon as that one got done, another one came. And before the night was over, we had baptized 39 and over 40 filled with the Holy Ghost. Church went till midnight. Some of y'all worried about how late it is right now. How many of you, when you're in the world, told the bartender, oh, I'm going to have to go, it's 8:30. How many of you told the drug dealer, I don't do drugs after 8:30? We had church past midnight, and I'm standing over on this side, the platform, and that pastor of that huge church television ministry walks down to the front, looks at me, and his hands are trembling. He put his hands up in front of me. He said, I've preached about the power of God for 25 years, but I've never felt what I feel in this service tonight. I took him to my office, and there we talked till 3 o'clock in the morning about Acts 2:38. He was having healings, and I told him, you have apostolic demonstration, but you're not apostolic. To be apostolic, you have to have apostolic demonstration and apostolic doctrine. And if you don't have apostolic doctrine, honey, you're not apostolic. At 3 o'clock in the morning, me and the evangelist took him out to the baptistry and we baptized him in Jesus' name. That was early in the week. Sunday night after church, he called me at home. He said, "Brother Cunningham," he said, "I was reading my Bible and I saw something." He said, "I don't know if you've ever seen it or not." He said, "But did you know Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father?" I said, "Yeah, I think I remember reading that." But here's what he told me. He said, "I just thought I'd let you know, but between this morning and tonight, I rebaptized over 800 people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins." Oh, somebody in North Texas needs to get a revelation of what I'm preaching to you. Revival's not coming. Revival is here. It's here. It's here. Somebody shout yes. I told you last night in Stockton, California, in one Sunday, 396 filled with the Holy Ghost, 298 baptized in Jesus' name. In Kampang Phet, Thailand, on February the 22nd of this year, 215 people received the Holy Ghost. Now hold on. Get ready to shout. All 215 of them were Buddhist. Go ahead and sit down. You don't have to stand on this one. You can leave me hanging on this one if you want to. But Sunday, January 31st, I was preaching for Billy Hale in Denver, Colorado. I got a phone call in the hotel room on Sunday afternoon from California. A pastor called and said, "I wanted to tell somebody what happened in our church this morning that would believe it." He said, "We had a woman that fell over dead." He said, "We've got two or three nurses in the church that pronounced her dead. They tried CPR. One young man literally did everything he could to bring her back. And they said, she is gone. She's dead." And he said, "A 15-year-old boy." A 15-year-old boy got up out of his seat, walked down to the front, and pointed down to that woman and said, "Get up! Get up!" He said, "Brother Cunningham, God raised her from the dead in front of the whole church." God is my judge. Standing behind this sacred desk, I rejoiced with him. I hung the phone up. Between 30 minutes and 1 hour later, my phone rang again. It was a young evangelist from Indiana. He said, "Brother Cunningham, a boy got sick in service today. He walked down to the front. He motioned us to come pray for him. But before we ever got to him, he said he started throwing up blood, pure blood, and he fell over in the floor. And there were nurses and doctors in the house. They come running to him, and they finally told us he is dead." And the young evangelist said, "God told me what were you going to preach about today? He said, I was going to preach about the power of God. He said, then you go down there and exercise it. And that young evangelist that's just getting started walked down there and laid hands on that woman that nurses and doctors said were dead. And when he laid hands on her, or on that boy, when they laid hands on him, breath came in his lungs. He sat up, acted like he was 100% okay. What are you trying to tell us, Brother Cunningham? There's only a handful of people that were raised from the dead in all four gospels. We had two in one day. And after all this, some of us are still looking for revival. I'm highly honored to pastor an apostolic church. It is a truly apostolic church. It's a praying church. It's a giving church. It's a church that loves the lost. And it's got more than a few faithful people in it. In the last 2 years in that church, we've baptized over 400 people. We've had over 600 filled with the Holy Ghost. We've added 250 new people to the active role of the church. We've baptized 120 Spanish-speaking people. We've baptized 75 gypsies. We've baptized 15 Guamanians and 15 Filipinos. And we've had 128 prodigals come home. And this Easter, we set an all-time record attendance of 2,561 on Easter Sunday. I'm thankful for the church that I get to pastor. I decided to have a prayer service in our city. I invited all the neighboring denominational pastors to come to the prayer service. Our church is right on the line between Portsmouth and Chesapeake, Virginia. I invited the Portsmouth mayor and the Chesapeake mayor to come to that prayer service. We had both mayors there. We had several sheriffs. We had city council members, board of education members. We had a dozen denominational pastors. Our building seats about 800. We had it completely full with over 400 in the dining hall watching on a screen. And we had people standing around the walls. And we had three television stations there that was videoing this community prayer meeting we were having on Sunday night. I had it worked out to where we would have some singing like this great choir tonight, and then we would have somebody say something for 4 or 5 minutes and then lead us in prayer. We would pray and then sing again, and someone would say, that was kind of the format. The song was sung, Say the Name, Jesus. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. God moved in such a powerful way. And it was time for our mayor, put his picture up, Mayor Alan Krasnoff. It was time for Mayor Krasnoff to come to the podium. He walked up to this podium and he pulled a large sheet of paper out of his pocket. He laid it down on the podium and he just stood there. He didn't say a word. And then all of a sudden he turned to me weeping, tears pouring down his face. And he said in the microphone, 1,200 people, mayors, city council members, three television stations, I've never felt this before. Pastor, I don't know what to do. He is right now one of the most popular mayors in America. Because the Supreme Court of the United States voted by 5-4 decision about 18 months ago that it is not illegal to pray in Jesus' name at a public event, a government event. That the government does not have the right to make us pray a generic prayer to a generic God. The reason my mayor is so popular is that he's one of two mayors that the ACLU sued, and the suit went all the way to the Supreme Court. He's one of those two. When the Supreme Court issued their decision, which was 1 month after him standing in the pulpit right there, that's him actually in the pulpit. 1 month later is when they put that decision out. He was interviewed by Time Magazine, CNN, Newsweek, Fox News, Washington Post, New York Times, you name it. They flooded our city to interview him after that landmark decision. But he turned to me crying, "Pastor, I don't know what to do. I've never felt this before." I was sitting on the platform and I walked to him at the podium and I said, "Mr. Mayor, forget about everybody here. Raise your hands and just worship God." And our mayor raised his hands and began to worship God. And in front of three television stations, God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and he began to speak with other tongues in the microphone. Somebody shout yes. Yes. One of your good Texas senators was running for president, Mr. Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz. I got a telephone call from his people asking if they could come to Virginia. He came, Ted Cruz, and his father, Rafael Cruz. Rafael was introduced to me as a Reformation Apostolic. I don't have a clue what a Reformation Apostolic is, but that's what he was introduced as. I do know what an apostolic is. We had a great rally, over 1,000 people in that rally, and at the close of it, one of our pastors said, "Why don't we pray for Mr. Cruz?" And Ted Cruz walked out there and raised his hand up, and a bunch of apostolic preachers got around him and laid hands on him and began to pray. That isn't what got my attention. On the front row was his old daddy. He must be 75 years old, 78 years old or something. There he is right there. That old man on the front row put both hands up in the air and he started talking in tongues like a Chinaman. I mean at the top of his lungs. Four Sunday nights ago, I had Mr. Chad Connolly speak for us. Chad Connolly is the head of GOP Faith for the Republican National Committee. He was hired by Reince Priebus, the committee chairman, and he answers directly to Mr. Priebus. Before we went out to service on Sunday night, I thought I might forewarn him of what's going to happen. I said, "Mr. Connolly, this is an apostolic service, and our people like to shout, and they like to dance, and they talk in tongues. And if you say something good tonight, they'll clap their hands and stand on their feet and get with you. And I just don't want you to be surprised." Don't know if you've ever been in a Pentecostal church before. And Chad Connolly, number two man in the Republican National Committee, he looked at me and said, "Brother Cunningham, don't tell my Baptist friends this." I said, "I won't, but I'm going to tell all my friends this." He said, "I was in a little Pentecostal church here recently, and in the office, just like you're doing, the pastor got to talking to me, and I told him, I don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost, but I don't have nothing against it." He said that little pastor reached up and put his hand on my head, and when he did, he said, "I fell over on my back in his office, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance." Cue up the next one for me and turn the volume up. Michelle Bachman, former member of the United States House of Representatives who represented Minnesota's 6th congressional district from 2007 to 2015. She just recently gave a radio interview. I want you to hear it. It's about 30 seconds. Listen to the last 10 seconds.
Acts 2, Jesus spent his 40 days after his resurrection teaching the disciples about the kingdom of God. Then upon his ascension, the disciples went back to Jerusalem and spent 10 days in prayer when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and the power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ across the earth. We know that there is more prophecy of Jesus' second coming even than there was in the first. And yet the people who literally crucified Christ, who were present in the room on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and gave the first witness for Jesus Christ to the Jews and to the Gentiles in Jerusalem. That power from the Holy Spirit witnessed of Jesus Christ to those individuals, and over 3,000 came into the Lord that day, and the witnessing
now
continued.
Listen.
We also should be encouraged and empowered as believers in Jesus Christ, now more than ever, with the Bible in one hand, the newspaper in another, to say to our neighbors and our co-workers and people at church, this is about the Lord speaking to the world that I am coming soon. Let me tell you how you come to Jesus Christ.
To Jesus.
Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Be filled with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That is newness of life, and that is our future.
Yeah, you heard it right. You heard it right. She said, let me tell you how to come to Jesus. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what some of us need to be praying for? Instead of praying, God, make me the big fish in a little pond. We need some Saul to Paul conversions. We need God to convert some people that have the ear of our nation. Shake hands with five more people before you're seated and tell them now is the accepted time. Mr. Reince Priebus lives in the state where I pastor. He is the chairman of the Republican National Committee. He's in the news every single day. He's had his hands full with his candidate. He's a Virginia man, head of the Republican National Committee, and he recently visited one of our United Pentecostal churches where he was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost at a United Pentecostal church. When I was praying about this service tonight, I know you've got a revelation of the name of Jesus. I know you've got a revelation of the mighty God in Christ. I know you have a revelation of one God. I know you have a revelation of Acts 2:38. But all I've prayed for you today is for revelation. I want this great district at the beginning of a new district in one of the greatest areas in all of America. I want you to get a revelation of what God has destined you to become. I want you to get a revelation of what God wants to do in you and through you. I want you to get a revelation that now, my God, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. Bible said it shall come to pass. In the last days saith God that I will, not might, not maybe, not could be, but it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9, he said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 14 and 7, he said, and it shall come to pass that at evening time there shall be light. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, I read to you, behold, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. I want every apostolic to hear me. I'm closing. This is the day we've preached about. This is the day we prayed about. This is the day we've been singing about. This is the day we've been looking for. Now is the acceptable time. This is the day the prophets foresaw. This is the day that God promised the church. This is the apostolic church that was literally designed and birthed for worldwide revival. Can I tell you, man of God, every sermon you've ever delivered has been in preparation of this day. Every revival prayer we've ever prayed has been in anticipation of this day. You are anointed for this day, North Texas. You are equipped for this day, North Texas. And I believe you are up to the challenge of this day. If I got it right today, I talked to your good ex-bishop. Well, I guess now he's our general bishop, Bishop David Bernard. And I talked to Bruce Howe today in my room. And if I've got it right, every day, somebody say every day. Every day. Say it again, every day. Every day. Say every day. Every day. Every day in the United Pentecostal Church, we average 542 people being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's 3,794 every week. That's 198,000 last year. We had more people filled with the Holy Ghost last year in United Pentecostal churches than is recorded in the entire book of Acts that spans the time of 70 years. We need to quit this stuff. Revival's coming. We need to quit this stuff. Revival's over there. I'm telling you, revival is here. Somebody shout yes. It's not a coincidence that the new Texas district was recently approved and formed. Not a coincidence. By the way, not my message, but I don't believe in coincidences. There's one verse in the Bible that if you believe it, you can never believe in coincidences. The Bible said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And if you believe that verse, there's no such thing as a coincidence. And I don't believe you are a great big coincidence tonight. You are in an area that is projected to have the largest population boom in all of America. Between 2015 and 2030, the population, if I understand it correctly, within the boundaries of the newly formed North Texas district is approximately 7.7 million people. Your population is projected to explode by 3 million more. When I was coming in here from the airport, I was thinking, you're going to need a few more roads. If that happens. Projected to explode by 3 million people. Here's what I've come to tell the Texas district tonight. You are a district at the right time and at the right place to have the greatest revival that the United Pentecostal Church of North America has ever seen. When I was sitting in my room today praying about this service, I don't say this lightly. You'll never hear me say God said if I don't genuinely believe God said. I don't understand people that says God said park here. God said brush your teeth. God said sit over there. I put them right over there in the wacky category right away. Hello? When we say God said, we better really believe God said. When I was sitting in my room today all alone, I'm telling you, the room filled with the spirit of prophecy. It was as if I was in a general conference and we were all waiting. That holy hush come over the place and we're waiting for a word from God. I felt that in my room today. And I sat there and the Spirit of God began to speak to me that this district is not a coincidence. This district is not a political decision. This district is not even about distances to drive and all of that kind of stuff. God told me today, I formed this district. God told me in my room today, I ordained the North Texas district. And if the North Texas district will follow me, listen, I'm careful before I say God said. But God told me in that room today, I will do something in North Texas that will shake the entire United Pentecostal Church and sweep around the world. That's what God said to me today in my room. I want you to grab somebody by the hand and don't say one word of English. Throw your head back. In the book of Jude, it said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Throw your head back and at the top of your lungs, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost.